I think this series has gone off the rails on more than one occasion.
All of his, like, I felt like all the exposition was very, very tight and well done.
Does William Shatner know that he's not a captain of a starship?
That's like Ricky Bobby. He's covering his bases.
Yeah, same with Tom Cruise, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it, Phil.
When she's late. Loud and proud, put it in the trailer.
Once you start it, it's like, okay, I got to see where this is going.
Yeah, I like the setup of the movie a lot.
That was the weakest part of that scene.
Sure.
That's an emotional swing for 24, 48 hours.
Okay, Fellowship of the Real, four friends in a movie, one podcast to rule them all, movie review podcast. This is kind of a special episode, two episodes. We, as the Fellowship, had an opportunity, much like we did with Cusack, to have an evening with Cary Elwes. They did a screening of The Princess Bride over there in Dallas, which was enough to draw us over there. It takes something special to get us over to Dallas. But we went over there to watch the movie, and then Cary Elwes, the man in black, Wesley, came out and did a Q&A and then talked about the movie and some of the things that we may or may not have known. It was a very enjoyable evening, and that's what we're going to talk about first in this first episode, and then after that, the second episode that we were recording today will be an actual review of the movie. So this is fairly unscripted. We're going to talk about our experiences. It may be short, it may be long, and then the second episode will be The Princess Bride. Okay, so thoughts, comments? Anything you want to kick off?
It was much better than John Cusack.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Not saying John Cusack himself was.
Right,
better.
Right.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, it was, way better. Enjoyed it a lot more than the Cusack thing. But again, and I think we talked about it a little bit, they picked 16 Candles for John Cusack. And he's in that, you know, he's a minor character in that movie, not in it a whole lot. Had they picked a movie that he was like the star of, right? I think it would have been probably more enjoyable for him to, you know, talk about more and also. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think he even said it. He was like a kid, right? When he saw that.
He was still in the movie. School.
Yeah, so it's slightly different experiences.
But
the way
that even the Q&A part of it for Cary Elwes, it was about The Princess Bride. Yeah. Like John Cusack, it wasn't about 16 Candles. It was about his whole career. Yeah. And then it wasn't moderated. So the questions that were being asked.
And the audience were terrible.
And we talked about that.
18 proposals. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this we talked about that. It was much better. Yeah, more organized.
The way they did Cusack was people lined up to a microphone and asked questions, and that went on ad nauseum, way too long.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, Jen, about the questions not being about 16 Candles, well, there's only, when he's in it for so little time, there's only so many questions you could ask him. Where if they, again, picked something where he was a star, then, you know, it would have been better. But yeah, anyhow.
Yeah.
This one was great.
So this format was... You could write questions out on a card prior to, and then the moderator or whoever picked.
Could vet them and.
Vetted the questions and asked Cary.
Make sure they were good ones and not repeats or,
It seemed like everyone they set picked was specifically about The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Now, you know there were questions in there that weren't and they weren't
I submitted questions that it wasn't about Princess Bride. It was more obviously like, hey, how do you pick the script? What kind of stories do you look for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I would have been very interested to know. But with something like The Princess Bride, and we'll certainly talk about this when we do the review, there is such a deep love for this movie and such a fan base. I don't know that you could have covered everything in six sessions or whatever.
Sure.
Can I tell the question that I wanted to ask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and you wouldn't let me?
I said you could, but...
I had just watched, because I had never watched, what was the name of that movie? The Crush? And I didn't realize he showed his little tushy in that movie.
Right.
And I wanted to know if that was really him or he had a stunt double.
Yeah.
And come to find out, someone who went to the matinee show in the, they did the meet and greet afterwards.
Yeah, the VIP, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
But she did ask that question. And she said he looked around and he was like, well, he said, yes, that was me and you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
She asked during the Q&A thing like we had, or she asked during the VIP part?
I think when she met him at the VIP part.
Because they
so shook his hand and went, "Hey, was that your ass that I just saw?"
I'm thinking that's the way she put it. It sounded
sure,
like
I don't know how you asked that question
right face to face.
I would assume the VIP part because they kicked us out of that venue.
They did, yeah. So that was the only, I guess, negative that I had was
it was okay, you got 10 minutes afterwards, like, and boom, you're done because they were going to do
get
a
out,
VIP.
Please. Shit, we're just
so I imagine
around.
There was 20, 30, 40 people sitting in like that front area doing a. Intimate Q&A, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't remember anything. I don't know how much it would have cost or whether.
And I think they got. I think they got an autographed book of his.
Yeah,
the book.
I think that's why he was really doing all this. Is he's selling that book that he wrote about his stories?
Yeah, because it was a long time ago that he wrote it or whatever.
And didn't he have a new movie coming out too?
Seemed like he.
Oh yeah, he's in the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Yeah, we saw it last weekend. So.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's real good. It's Guy Ritchie. It's a lot of fun.
Guy Ritchie. Oh, yeah.
I did see Henry Cavill.
And, like, Carrie's on in it a lot. Like, he's the kind of the leader. Or not the leader of the group, but, like, the boss that they have to answer to. But, yeah, Henry Cavill's in it. And then Alan Ritchson, the guy that plays Reacher on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
He kills people like Reacher, but his whole persona is very much not like Reacher. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. No. But, yeah, it was...
Yeah, I think... When you're handling the talent, you want to be respectful of their time, right? So I think that's part of the reason they did the write-in questions and that they wanted people to sort of usher out to sort of, you know, respect Carrie Ellis's time.
Sure. Yeah, and who knows? Maybe like the people that organize these things are like, look, we can't have another Cusack event, so let's fix this shit.
Where did we see Cusack? Was it at the same theater?
No.
It was in Fort Worth.
Yeah, the other one was Will Rogers.
Yeah, Will Rogers. That's right. Okay.
So it's probably different people. I was just, you know.
Yeah, because
take note, Will Rogers event people.
You know? Yeah, I think it was the whoever put that John Cusack thing together, the promotor.
Yeah, not either really Will Rogers. That was just the venue, right?
Yeah, either the promoter learned his lesson from that, and it's the same promoter that did this one, or it was a completely different one.
Right.
The guy that was on stage moderating this whole thing he kept it on track.
Yep. Yeah. Boom. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It was very much. Now, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I can imagine that the presentation that we saw was probably very similar to the one they did at the matinee, you know.
It was. So. I know someone who went to the one at one, and I said, did he talk about this? And she said, yeah. And then she would say, did he talk about this? And I said, yes.
Yeah.
So
it was very much
the same.
The only thing is, she told me that when they were announcing his movies, they totally left out that he was in Twister. I said, no, they said that in ours.
Yeah, they corrected that, I guess, at the... evening.
Yeah. So,
but if like, if these are the stories he decides to tell, like, right. I mean, just cause one group heard it. I mean, like, it doesn't bother me that he told the same.
It doesn't bother me
group,
at all. No,
I didn't hear them. I only heard them once. Right. And got to enjoy them. So,
right. So
yeah, if those get the most laughs or the most entertaining, those are the ones you tell, obviously. Right.
That's why you get the VIP package. You get the off script stuff. You get
extra.
And you get to ask, you know, questions. Was that your ass or not? You know?
Right. I mean, it was very much a package, you know, which, because I think that's where Cusack thing went kind of off the rails.
Because it became
uncontrolled.
No structure.
Where this was very structured.
Yep.
You're here to watch the movie and enjoy the movie and get insights from, I mean, just literally for me, just seeing Carrie Ellis, because, you know, we've talked about this on the ride home and we'll talk about it certainly in the movie, but like just to see, like if he just stood there on stage for an hour and a half, just to see Carrie Ellis knowing that's the Man in Black.
Yeah.
To me, because this movie, like, you know, we talked about Lebowski. I love Lebowski, but I have probably seen Bride more. And I've seen Lebowski hundreds of times. So just to see, like, it's almost like, you know, if you went to see Zeppelin or something, you know, like, oh my God, there's Zeppelin, you know? Or,
yeah, no, I think it's the same feel. Like, just even if you don't get to talk to them, like you go to the Dallas fan expos and Comic Cons and stuff, right? Like, just to, even if you don't pay the extra money to have a picture or whatever, as you're walking around and you see them, you know, in person over there signing something or talking to somebody else, there's something very, very cool about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing, you know, whoever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Your hero or whatever, people that you really admire, just seeing them in person, in the flesh, not on a screen, that's really, really cool.
I mean, he truly has been a part of our lives for over 30 years.
Or at least.
Right.
I mean, and I have the VHS, I have it on, you know,
and it
I have
puts
all
it,
the versions on, you know, every year that, every time they come out with an anniversary edition, oh, damn right I'm buying it.
Right.
the weirdest part was him, the moderator's name was James.
Yeah.
So every time Carrie Ellis was talking, he's like, well, you see, James. blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
he's talking to me.
Just close my eyes. He's right there.
Yeah. It was.
Amanda have kept going, he's not talking to you, babe.
Yeah, he's not. He's not talking to me.
But I thought even that was kind of cool. I thought, I'm glad you reminded me of that. Like he's talking to the audience and those are the people that paid to be there. But there's this moderator named James sitting right next to him. So I felt even that was cool and respectful of, you know, because like, you know, they say when you're talking to a bunch of people or whatever, or more than one person, you look at everybody, right? And you do that whole bit. So yeah, several times it was, well, you see James.
Yeah.
Or like he just made sure to mention, wasn't just talking to the audience and ignore the guy who's asking the questions next to him just because he's a moderator. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he included them in the conversation, I guess, which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm. And now,
there's here we go. Now the negative.
No. There's this sense of you never want to meet your heroes. Like I have never wanted to meet movie stars because I'm like,
if they're a dick, it's going to ruin it.
This is what I'm saying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not that Cusack was a dick. I respect him because he's very cerebral. He's more cerebral than I would have anticipated. Sure. Cusack.
I wish we saw him in a better venue. Like I wish it was more organized and all this stuff. Because I didn't lose any respect for him. I've actually felt bad for him because you know, 18 proposals and all this stupid crap and and he took it like a champ. But
right.
I mean, even he acted surprised at how everything was set up.
Well, he was probably. You know, they proposed this to him. He said, yeah. And then
immediately afterwards, got on the phone with his agent and was like, never fucking again.
He ended up going to Dallas and doing more of them. So,
yeah.
Maybe those were better.
But this was, I'm not.
I cut you off.
No, that's fine. I don't think Cary Elwes is, you know, a dick or anything. But I walked away from that still loving the guy.
Yeah.
For being him and being in Princess Bride and being in Psych and all that. And so the illusion was preserved. Now, he's probably like that in real life. If you met him in the grocery store, he'd probably be very friendly. But
yeah, and it's
the risk of not happening was eliminated, which I appreciate.
Well, I have heard he told some similar story, but I heard some lady say one time, and, you know, because he heard some lady when he didn't realize the Princess Bride had gotten as big as it was or whatever. Yeah. And the woman said, as you wish to him. But I heard
he was ordering a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
He got.
And I heard another lady say one time that he was coming for some event and she was whatever, setting it up or whatever. And then she just casually says, you know, and he asked for something. She says, as you wish. And he just gets a smile on his face. Whereas Mandy Patinkin, don't you dare ever, if you run into him, I've heard, don't you dare ever say, hello, my name is, you know, because he does
not. The same
not,
with Wallace Shawn. He apparently did not like Inconceivable.
Yeah. But to me, that says that, you know, he is genuine. He is he knows he has fans and he appreciates the, you know.
Yeah. To me, I love Mandy Patinkin as Inigo. And I pretty much love everything he's been in.
Alien Nation, man.
Mm-hmm. But he also does like theater.
Yeah.
And I think Mandy is
I'm an actor
you know while I think he probably appreciates the fan base, I don't want to say he thinks, I'm not going to speak for him, but maybe he thinks that that's low art as opposed to high art or something, I don't know.
I think he probably just doesn't put as much, almost like when you were talking about this, like Harrison Ford, I feel like it's probably very similar in the same thing as far as he's gotten older, I feel like he's shown more appreciation for it, right? But like Han Solo, Indiana Jones, like these are just roles. Like, I mean, you've seen him. We've all seen him in interviews and stuff. And one time they asked him, you know, I saw one not long ago, and it's like, you know, who would win in a fight, Han Solo or Indiana Jones? And he was like, who fucking makes up this shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's like, well, obviously me. And then went on. You know what I mean?
Well, listen to him on Conan.
He's
hilarious.
Yeah, so
he rips Conan. He is so sarcastic and
talk about the Han Solo thing.
Well, just in the interview
Conan needs a friend.
Yeah, like if this is one I saw, like he was interviewing him and he said, I see there in your notes that you have Harrison Ford, Han Solo circle.
Yeah.
You couldn't fucking remember that? Yeah,
right. I think he was having fun with Conan.
Well, for sure.
He played it to the hilt.
But he seems like
acerbic and whatever, just sarcastic.
Now, Conan is someone I'd love to run into on the streets because apparently he's told this, that he said he'll run into people and they'll ask him questions. And he said he loves to talk to people. He said it's happened to where people are going, okay, well, I got to go now, you know, because he will talk to you.
That's funny.
So I think if you met Cary, I think he would be cordial, even if he you know.
Yeah, and that's what was there. I think it depends on, I mean, I think a lot of people forget that they're real people too, and they got lives going on and stuff, right? So it depends, you know, if you catch them in a bad time or they're trying to eat and they don't want to be bothered, right? Like it's, and I know it's a, you're a celebrity, so that's part of, you get paid millions of dollars, that's part of it, right? But it's, until you've been in those shoes, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, hard.
You got to get tired of hearing, like, you know, every day somebody, you know, people you see and they want you to just say your famous line or whatever you're known for. Like, yeah, that's got to get, that's got to wear on you. You know,
there's a thing in that profession and as music as well. They kind of talk about it being on the clock, being off the clock.
Sure. Yeah, when do they get to be normal?
When they're off the clock, that's when I wouldn't want to approach them. Private dinners, family functions. Sure. Yep. You see them out there celebrating a birthday at a restaurant. Leave them alone.
Yeah, that's probably, you're not going to get a good, you, that point, you do not want to meet your hero, right?
Yeah, right.
But, out on the street, they got a couple bags in their hands. If you want to say, hey, I'm a huge fan, I just wanted to say hi, thank you, move on.
Sure.
Yeah, they're going to be nice.
Well, let me tell you, he's a local celebrity, I guess you'd call him. When we went to see Lindsey Buckingham at the same place, Majestic,
yeah.
I knew that the local anchorman would probably be there because he is a Fleetwood Mac fan. And sure enough, I'm standing at the elevator and I look over and he's going to the restroom. And I'm like, I wanted to go, hey, I know you, but I'm like, no, he's going to the restroom. So I just smiled real big and he smiled real back. And so he knew I recognized him.
And didn't bother him. Yeah.
And didn't bother him. But
and it was enough. Yeah.
It was enough. Sure. Because I was like, I know. Yeah, I mean, right. I didn't.
He was since retired.
Yeah, the only time, I think I said this in the John Cusack thing, the only time a celebrity will remember you is when you're batshit crazy.
Right.
Otherwise, if you just say, hi, love you, he's going to embrace, you know, that moment and then move on. He's not going to remember you. You smiled at that guy. It was a moment, and now it's done.
It's done. And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to be watching The Princess Bride thinking, man, Carrie thinks I'm a dick.
He told me to go fuck myself.
You know.
Right. How dare you?
Yeah, you know, that that embarrassing moment, and he knows it, and I know it now.
Carrie, what did your underwear smell like? You
have the perfect response, though, right? Like, if you met him and he was a dick and told you to go fuck yourself, as you wish, and then you walk off.
Sure. There would be ways to help, but you don't want that. You want... And so, for me, the evening was preserved, right?
Like a cycle roll, I could kill you right now. You know, but
That's right. It's going to start.
Yeah, the one thing that stood out to me was his voice.
Yes.
The tone and quality of his voice.
Yeah.
I had to keep reminding myself, this guy's English. This guy's from England.
You know, that's the thing. Maybe on some level I suspected he was English, but I really didn't know for sure. I thought he was American at some point.
Yeah, right. He has a weird inflection in his...
Sure, but I think it's all... Well, it may be for roles, because he very quickly could delve into the various colloquial accents
of when he was telling his stories, that, and he seemed like he's good with impressions.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, because
he did the director, and he did
Andre.
Rob Reiner. I mean, he was spot on.
Right.
Yeah,
we're
doing Rob Reiner.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't know that he was so eloquent with his accents that he could slip into them that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, you go from Princess Bride and him in Psych with the British accent,
right,
to him in Twister with that.
The country one.
Yeah.
I wonder how hard he works. Like, if he works with a dialect coach or whatever to really hone it in. Because I think Daniel Day-Lewis does stuff like that. So I wonder how hard Cary Elwes goes with his accents.
Yeah, it. Now, like, Dana Carvey can do impressions.
Yeah.
And I've heard him.
I was thinking of him just now.
I've heard him say that, like, he'll listen to tapes and tapes and tapes of whoever he's trying and try to get down the rhythm. And so it's not... At least for him, it's not instantaneous. He studies it until he can get what he's hearing in that voice.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point, Cary probably had a voice coach, even if it was just to lose the British accent.
And I would think, certain impressions are easier for you to do than others for everybody, right?
Sure.
Like, certain ones are just come natural, I guess, based off your own voice and your own inflections or tone and all that stuff. But, like, some are easier than others. So, like, if there's one that is not that easy, then, you're going to theoretically have to put in more work, I would think.
You know? Sure. Yeah. Now, I had bought the book prior to going to that event with every intention of reading it in case they were going to let us ask questions or whatever. They didn't. But I never did get to read the book, but I'm sure some of those stories are in the book.
I would think,
I knew he had gotten injured at some point in the movie, but I thought he had just twisted his ankle. Because there is, and we'll talk about it when we get to the viewer, we could talk about it now, the scenes he's talking about filming with that injury.
Yeah, see,
I'd never noticed it. Like, didn't know that story, never noticed it. And then, yeah, it's you can't unsee it once you know that story and you see it.
When I first saw it, without knowing he was injured, it looked a little awkward, but I'd never made anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I thought he twisted his ankle, but apparently it was a pretty...
Really fractured his toe, nasty.
Like, broke it completely.
How that kind of accident, dude, people lose limbs.
Sure.
How he didn't lose a foot because of that?
Yeah, no, it's just, because if it had snapped the ankle, then I think that they would have to halt production at that point.
Right. Maybe the boots protected him that he was wearing. Maybe that's the only thing that saved his foot.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he was saying that it was Andre the Giant's three-wheel ATV. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Going for a ride.
Right. Yeah, if you're not familiar with the story, I wasn't familiar with all those specifics, but Andre was a big guy, couldn't get around as fast, so they got him a three-wheeler, and then Andre fell in love with it and would interrupt scenes, apparently.
Hey, boss.
Yeah. Like, really they were filming.
Yeah.
What'd he say when Andre the Giant got off of the three-wheeler, it lifted up about 6 inches?
Yes.
So apparently that's what he drove around. Like, he had a farm, and he would drive that around on his farm, so they got him one similar to get around.
Scott on tape, we've mentioned him before, he's a YouTuber that we watch, actually went to that farm Andre had passed away and didn't live there anymore. But some of the structures are still there, and he visited Andre's farm order. But yes, he did ride a three-wheeler. But apparently when they were filming the scene, oh, my sweet Elsie, what have I done when they're falling down the hill? You know, they're in the middle of that scene, and here comes Andre, right in the middle.
Hey, boss,
you want to ride on my... You know you want to, this kind of thing. And like, Andre, we're kind of filming here, you know. And he persisted, I guess, and then the story goes that Kerry got on the thing, and I guess his foot got caught between the thing and a rock.
Yeah.
And essentially broke his toe.
He's lucky he only broke his toe.
Yeah. And then.
I did not like hearing that story.
Yeah. And so if you watch that scene where he's sort of mad at Princess Buttercup, there are a couple of scenes when he stands from the sitting position, like he's leaning against the log, when he stands up, his right leg. I think it's right. There's some awkward movement there.
Yeah, you can tell he's delicate with it.
Yes.
Like if you watch it knowing he's hurt his foot, then it's pretty obvious what he's doing. But
And then apparently there was a second injury, right?
You forgot the one where he said that where he kicked his leg up.
Yes.
And he was talking to Buttercup and he kicked his leg, and Rob Reiner was like, "That was fantastic."
Right.
What did you think of how did you come up with the... The foot.
Same scene, James is right. It's very awkward. It's a strange way to sort of lift your leg because he doesn't bend it. You know, you bend your leg, you stand up.
Right.
He doesn't. And anyway, it worked out, I guess.
Yeah, I was watching it last night and I wanted to see the second one you're talking about with the...
Well,
Christopher Guest.
Yeah, tell that story.
No.
Okay. Yeah, so apparently he tells the story of when they're filming coming out of the fire swamp, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And the Count Rugen, whose name is Tyrone, apparently. Tyrone Rugen.
That's Christopher Guest.
Yes.
Yes.
What's your name? Tyrone?
Yeah, when Count Rugen is about to go down to torture Wesley. The
Humperdinck,
Prince,
Humperdinck says to him, "Tyrone, you know how I love to watch you work."
Oh, you know? I never caught that.
Which is...
Right.
Tyrone.
Okay.
Get some rest.
Get some,
you haven't got your health.
You haven't got anything. Anyway. Coming out of the fire swamp.
Got my wife to kill. I'm swamped.
My country's 500th anniversary. So when he's coming out of the fire swamp, obviously, Humperdinck tells Rugen, "Make sure this man gets back to his ship. It shall be done." You're lying, of course.
Yeah.
And Wesley calls him on that. You know, "We are men of action. Lies do not become us. Well spoken, sir." There's a scene where he clumps him on the head with the sword and knocks him out to take him to the pit of despair. And they kept filming it, he says. And you obviously don't want to hit a man in the head with a heavy sword.
Because they left the props somewhere.
The prop master forgot the
rubber ones or whatever they are. Yeah.
And so they were trying to film it, you know, at an angle where he would miss him, but it looked like he hit him and it just wasn't coming off. And Rugen, Christopher Guest, was very apprehensive about approaching Cary Elwes's head with this heavy piece of steel and was very reticent about getting closer and closer, and they wanted him to. And so, lo and behold, they get close enough, and he says, just touch him on the head. It'll look all right. He touches him on the head, but he doesn't touch him. He hits him and knocks Cary straight out.
Literally.
He's literally unconscious, hitting the head with a piece of steel. Cary wakes up in the doctor's office while they're putting stitches in his head.
With his foot all messed up.
Yes, with his foot all messed up.
Same hospital.
Same doctor. And I lost my train of thought.
The doctor.
Oh, yeah. That's the take they used.
Yeah.
So when you see, apparently, when you see Wesley get hit in the head and getting knocked out, that poor fella is getting knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, what was the other one take was the sand, the quicksand.
Yeah.
Lightning sand.
Yes.
What did he say? The stunt double was jumping in feet first.
And holding his nose and stuff. And he's like, well, that's not very heroic. Not very great.
And the one take, he's like, come on, Rob, let me do it. And he jumps in head first. That's the take.
That's the take they use.
One take.
I said, we'll let you do it. Because at this point, Wesley's been through the ringer, and I'm sure the insurance companies are freaking out. You know? Yeah,
right.
I don't even know nowadays the insurance company would let you get on a three-wheeler and start horse around, would they? I don't know.
Probably not.
You know what I'm saying? The talent cannot be horsing around on a three-wheeler. Mm. But yeah, see, right, James is correct. They didn't like the way they were jumping into the lightning sand.
Yeah, it's just little things, little cool little things like that was neat.
Yeah, now something I did know, I had heard somewhere, during the fire swamp when Buttercup caught on fire, William Goldman was on set. He's the writer. And I guess wasn't aware that that was going to happen or whatever. But as soon as her dress catches on fire, he ruins the take. He starts freaking out. She's on fire. She's on fire. You know. So one of the reasons perhaps that writers are not always welcome.
Yeah.
On set. You know. But who's going to tell William Goldman he can't come on set? I mean.
Right.
One of the.
And would William Goldman wrote it and then nobody would produce it? Is that the thing? Rob Reiner was trying to get it.
Yes.
Financed.
For years. Yes.
For years and years. And who wrote the check?
What's his name? It's right here on the poster. Hold on.
Yeah, the guy, Norman Lear?
Norman Lear,
that's it. Yeah, he just flat out wrote a check. Boom, do it.
Act 3 Communications, yes.
I didn't know that. I thought that
was Norman Lear is the one who, like Cary was saying, he's famous for...
Oh, yeah.
Like...
All in the Family, Good Times.
Yeah.
Maude, all those...
Rob Reiner is the son of Carl Reiner. Carl Reiner and that guy, they were... TV pioneers,
yes,
basically.
And I've seen interviews with those two, and I can't remember who all was sitting there. And just to hear these older men just sit there cracking each other up. Just
Mel Brooks
and Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner, yes.
Because those guys are deep in their
90s. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought Carl Reiner passed away not too long ago.
I think he did.
I know him and Mel Brooks always ate dinner together at Mel Brooks' apartment or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, still at that age when I was watching that interview, just hilarious. These men.
Yeah, Carl Reiner died in 2020, 98 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is Mel Brooks still alive? I guess he is.
Yeah, Mel Brooks is still kicking.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 108.
Probably.
He might be.
And Norman Lear passed away at what, 101 or something?
That sounds right. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Brooks was born in 26, so he's about to turn 98.
Oof.
Well,
more power to him, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. Some of the best out there. Oh, that was the other one. Cary Elwes. One of my other favorite movies of him is Robin Hood Men of Tights. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I'm not sure I've actually.
I don't think I've seen that.
Whoa. So
Princess Bride meets Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Is a Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah.
It is watchable.
Yeah.
It's very watchable.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Dave Chappelle's in it.
Oh,
is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He plays Achu.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. So good. Anyway.
I need to watch that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's been lots of Cary Elwes movies that I've just loved over the years and hadn't realized. Oh,
I've
my God. He's
Saul.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
No, I refuse to watch that type of movie.
The first one's pretty good.
It's good, yeah.
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 I don't know. I think there's like 12 of them now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but is that a real slasher. They just show gore.
Yeah, it's a
gore. It's pretty gore. Yeah.
You have to cut into yourself or others to free yourself.
Something wrong in life and you wake up in, you know, some predicament thing is punishing people because cheated on your wife or you stole or whatever kind of thing, right? Yeah.
The keys to your handcuffs are in his liver.
Right.
Like No.
So tell me that's better. How does Carrie play? I mean, what does he do in this movie?
He's one of the captives.
Yeah.
He wakes up, he's chained to a pole. And there's another guy in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trying to figure out why they're in there, what's going on, how they got to get out.
Now, who is the... I know it's the little the guy with the little puppet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was playing... Or
oh, it's... You got to watch a movie. I don't know his name. I only saw the first one.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Carrie Elwes is good, but it's weird because it's lit with fluorescent light. So he looks real washed out and pale and sick and... It's the whole movie is to make you feel uncomfortable.
Sure, yeah. I'm sure that was a choice for
him. Yeah.
I think he ends up hacking off his, spoiler alert, hacking off a part of him to get out.
Sure.
No.
No.
And it ain't his butt.
It's not his butt.
Oh,
it's not his butt. Doesn't cut his butt off.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not my butt.
Right. All right. So can I say something about the event, Tim? You know, like I said, this is a movie that... I think the first time I ever saw it, I know I didn't see it in the theater.
No, I never did. No.
But never mind.
No,
never mind. No.
We could save the when you first saw it for the actual episode.
Yes, okay, cut that out.
Okay, we'll save it for
you. You don't have to. That's just a teaser.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay tuned next week.
I totally forgot that we were doing that, too.
Because I've got a great story for when I first saw it, too.
Oh, okay. Right. Cut this out.
All right, we'll save that for the episode.
Teaser.
Yeah, I just wanted to get off of Saul.
Sure.
Well, there's a lot of Carrie Elwes movies out there. But the thing is, his voice is exactly like the movie Liar Liar when he plays the stepdad. That is Carrie Elwes' true, actual voice. Really? That I was like...
Yeah, I forgot that.
I don't know.
I've seen Liar Liar once.
He's the stepdad.
Where's the stepdad? He's like, come on, sport.
Oh, the claw.
Throw the ball.
Well, because Jim Carrey does the claw and it works. And then later on, he tries the, do Jim Carrey's thing and it does not go well with the kid.
No.
The claw. Yeah, it's a really boring.
I've seen that movie, but I don't remember.
It plays very well.
I didn't remember him being in it until.
But you're right. He's all, come on, sport, like some 50s dad or something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's who he reminds me of just in person. He's probably totally different, but I don't know.
Sure. Well, now, I've heard this said. Now, Robin Wright and Carrie Elwes.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, I think it was Rob Reiner that said this. And, it's true. He thought he had the two most beautiful people to play. Like, if they had kids, they would be. Because, Robin Wright was just, beautiful.
Still is.
And Carrie Elwes, still a handsome man. Handsome but back dude. Then, especially...
he has aged well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But even in his youth, there'd be no way these two would have ugly kids, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah. So he was going on about how these two absolute, stunning looking people. Yeah.
Now, was that Carrie's first movie? Because I know it says in introducing Robin Wright, but I had never seen him before.
I don't know what his first movie, but if it didn't say introducing Carrie Elwes, then it wouldn't be.
Unless it's because he was
it wasn't like she wasn't an actress, but this is her first movie not TV,
I don't know.
James is looking up, I think.
I'm trying.
It
was.
I always thought those are two pretty people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was amazed. I mean, we weren't like right on the front row, but we were close and he really has aged well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
He's still very nice looking.
Yeah.
And that British accent doesn't hurt.
No, well.
Carrie Elwes was in some stuff before Princess Bride. A few movies.
Anything we heard of?
No, not that I've seen. Oxford Blues, The Bride, Lady Jane, Mashinka.
Oxford Blues sounds...
But then he went from Princess Bride to Glory, Days of Thunder, Hot Shot.
Oh, yeah, Glory. I forgot about that.
Bram Stoker's Dracula, Crush.
Yeah, yeah. So Princess Bride was a door.
Huge door, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about Glory. I don't know why. I completely forgot about that until just now, until you said it.
Yeah, I remember
he's Glory. He's Broderick's,
Yeah.
He was good in Dracula as the, you know, the whatever he played in that. But yeah, he's been in a lot of great stuff that I didn't realize.
I just love him in Psych. I did love to hear him speak.
Yeah, he is very comedic in Psych. It's good. He's I really enjoy it. Like, probably next to Princess Bride, Psych is my favorite stuff that he's in. Or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even more so, I enjoyed him more so in Psych versus Twister, you know, because he was a bad guy in both, but just his interaction with Sean and Gus.
He's an international jewel thief or art thief on Psych. And
him getting his comeuppance in Twister, though, is really satisfying.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. And that's the quality, I guess, of his acting, that you can love him as Wesley, but find him completely obnoxious and detestable in something like Twister. You know. Now, the one other thing that I sort of, and then this is the debate versus streaming versus going to the theater.
There is no debate.
There is no debate. The theater experience with Princess Bride or whatever was exceptional because you're with 3,000 to 5,000 fans who love it as much as you do, and the whole audience is quoting along with it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was gonna
cheering
say earlier.
Oh, for the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer. Sorry.
Whatever.
But, wait, but that was the first time you seen Princess Bride? Was it the
no,
theater?
No.
Last
no.
Sunday? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was
talking about the differences in the
I was gonna talk about
it. You see
it later.
And stuff, yeah.
We could elaborate later. I just thought it was it becomes this communal thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
going to the movies is all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But it's different because when you go to the movies, most of the time, it's a movie you've already seen or you have not already seen.
Sure. But everybody's sitting there in that dark room sharing the same experience. Exactly. Even though you're not talking about it and all that stuff, right? You're theoretically laughing at the same moments, getting scared by the same moments, crying at the same moments. It's really, really cool.
Yes.
I think. And obviously. 100% biased. Love going to the movies.
New experiences. Yes.
Yeah.
I would have to say like something like this of seeing something. Everybody in that building has seen that movie many
times. Like better.
So I think, this is more of a, you know, the joke's coming. Everybody's going to laugh. Everybody's going to say the line. Everybody's.
Sure. No, and that's where they like this. It was it was an anniversary, right? Wasn't it?
It's coming up on the
anniversary. Okay,
40th.
They re-released movies in theaters 89. For the anniversaries and stuff, and so that's where it's kind of,
Now he did talk about Billy Crystal as Miracle Max, and Billy Crystal is like Robin Williams at that point, almost very improvisational and can just go on, and apparently. And I would hope the cameras were rolling and that footage.
Yeah, you just let it roll and.
Yes, that scene of Miracle Max. They filmed, and at some point, Billy Crystal just went on for like 2 hours.
I would sit there and watch that. Yes. I really would. Yeah. Especially if you can hear Rob Reiner laughing out loud.
And that Manny Patinkin says he pulled a rib.
Cracked, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because it's almost like the way Carrey described it, at least my understanding of it, was almost like people were, obviously trying to keep the scene and not laugh and ruin it. So people were trying to, keep from laughing. And Crystal looked at it as a challenge as, I'm going to break you. So, like, he got Rob Reiner, and they had to escort him away or whatever so they could hear. So, he, his laughing wouldn't ruin it. Carrie, who's supposed to be mostly dead, they replaced him with a dummy because he couldn't hold it together. Yeah. And then I think Manny was, like, the last one. And he was like, I'm going
to
get you.
Yeah, and he pulled it. Yeah, he physically strained
a rib trying to keep him laughing. Yeah.
Oh, he did? I don't remember.
He talked about
All I know is last night, I did watch it again last night, like I said, and I was watching for the different things that Carrie talked about.
Yeah.
And one of them was that I was like looking at Mandy Patinkin's face and he's just like totally like staring at him. And I'm like, he's not cracking.
Right.
Not in the scenes, of course.
You're right.
Well, how did he say that he came up with it? They put him in, they put Billy Crystal in makeup and he looked in the mirror going, ha.
Yeah, it was like his grandma and then like a baseball manager or something, right?
Yeah, it was two different people combined. And I, for the life of me, can't remember who he mentioned.
Yeah, but like he slowly
was a Yankees baseball manager and then like his grandma or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then they went to catering to eat in the cafeteria.
And
Billy Crystal
stayed in character to do it that way.
Yeah.
You got any soup?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
He talked about, and I sort of heard this, but I didn't know all the specifics. He talked about the way Andre broke the ice.
You mean he planned that?
I had heard that story before.
Yeah.
I had not.
He told it so well, though.
Oh, yes.
He did.
I think I heard Rob Reiner tell it.
It might have been.
Yeah.
but it lasted 16 seconds. Someone timed it.
You want to tell what it was? Okay.
Hulk Hogan and Kerry did a tribute to Andre, and Kerry told this story to Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan said, yeah, that's Andre. That's how he breaks the ice. They're filming the scene. It may have been even like one of the first week or whatever. So Andre, to sort of break the ice, everybody is, you know, lights, camera, action.
On the castle when they're looking over and he's mostly dead.
Yes.
Yeah, there are 60 men, not 30 there. Right. Yeah, it's that scene.
And
yeah.
That's when Andre
lets
it go.
For 16 seconds. And Kerry said that you could hear the wooden set that they were on vibrate with this giant fart from a giant.
Low lows, high highs. Yes. It was the whole orchestra.
Yes. And it went on for 16 seconds. Now, there is in his book, because I was thumbing through the pictures a couple days ago, apparently someone snapped a shot of Kerry's reaction, because Kerry is sitting there with Andre, got a big smile, and Kerry has got this expression like someone just electric shocked him.
Better now, boss.
Yeah. Andre, you all right? Better now, boss. Yeah. Rob Reiner. Okay. What are you going to do? Yeah. Anyway. So this kind of stuff, it was very cool. You know?
Yeah, my cheeks did hurt throughout the night laughing at him.
Yeah, it was a real enjoyable event. And
it was totally worth, I don't know how much we paid for those tickets, but it was really, I like to go to events. This is just a once in a lifetime, really.
You sure?
You sit down, you watch the movie, like you said, with an audience full of fans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who have watched it for... what did you say, 40 years or whatever. And then to hear the main character actor come out and speak about it, it's worth every penny.
Just to see, yeah, that's Wesley. That's
worth driving to Dallas.
You know, absolutely. You know.
We had bought tickets. I saw the thing for it in October.
Yeah.
And yes, immediately sent it. And then I was... And they even said at the thing, like, thank you for buying these early. We didn't know that this was even going to be a hit.
It was almost a year.
Yeah, because the matinee was later. That was not out a year ago.
Shows.
Yeah,
they added the first available thing. Oh, yeah.
There was no way we could miss that.
I wondered if people would dress up, and they did. Some people did dress up, and some people had on, like, I saw one person with a t-shirt that says, anybody want a peanut?
Sure.
You know, so that was neat, too, to be around the hardcore. Well, I mean,
it was almost, you know, like a con or, you know, a Comic Con or something. It was a
little bit, yeah.
And I've never been to one of those, but
they're great. It's just so many people,
a lot of people,
yeah.
So you just got to get over the
and they get dressed up in whole different ways,
right? A lot of people are like, oh, all right, that's cool costume, or hey, look at that one, and then other people, you have no business wearing that costume.
What
are you doing? Some of them, you're like, man, you're gonna wear that for 8 hours? Damn, right.
Yeah,
that looks hard.
But
yes, I enjoyed
great.
That.
It was worth it.
I'm glad that, you know, I don't remember when we bought tickets. I actually had to look back.
Yeah.
Damn, this was October area when we saw it.
Yeah. Like so long that it was like, when is that again? That's coming up. When is that? I couldn't remember when it was we were going to go and do it.
Sometime in April.
Yeah.
And it was a good theater to see it in too, because like I said, the person that I worked with that went to the early showing of it, she was in the top balcony, but you know, she had a clear view, and it was still small enough that you could you know, really see.
There's no bad seats in that place. I've been there, this will be my fourth time.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I've seen, you know, music acts there, I've seen comedy acts there. It is a great venue for that stuff.
It is.
Drive to get to Dallas, walking up the street to 7-Eleven to get something to drink. Yeah. That's a whole different experience.
Right.
Had to pay a guy $1 to open up the 7-Eleven door because I didn't know where the entrance was, because all of them were boarded up and busted out. Yeah.
Really?
What do you mean you had to pay somebody $1 to open a door?
Because like we walked up the street and we went to the entrance door and it was locked because it was all boarded up, but we could see people inside. And I'm like, where the fuck is the front door?
Right.
So we walk around. There's a dude standing there. And he opens the door for us. He's like, hey, man, hit me up when you get back out. Lets us in. So my wife gives him $1 when he opens the door to let us back out.
Jeez.
I'm like, yep, it's Dallas.
Was that like security or
it's just a guy. He's like, hey, the door's right here. I'm going to open it for you. Because all of them was boarded up. He's like, door's right here.
Well, we got yelled at. The attractiveness thing, like it would have been $5 for filled in, is what you're saying.
At least. He probably would have been like, keep walking. Yeah. This is my this is my corner, fool. Get out of here. You're well, like, no, I'm trying to buy something.
My action. Oh.
We got right. yelled at in front of our parking garage. I still don't know what that was about. Somebody was screaming and hollering.
They probably don't know.
No, he probably doesn't.
It's like that guy in Austin when we went down there. You got a dollar? A dollar?
Just give me a dollar.
You're so angry. You got a dollar?
Right. That's right.
God, sir.
You'd made a comment about, you know, like people, like, you're begging for food with an attitude as if it says, hey, man, can you really help me out? Like, this completely different approach. I'd forgotten about that, Phil.
You're just angry. Guys,
you got a dollar? And yeah, Phil immediately goes, well, you know, if I'm begging for food or begging for stuff, I'm not going to do it with an attitude. I was like, God damn, he can still hear us. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Just angry. Yeah.
Classic film. His blood sugar was low.
Classic film moment, man. It's good stuff. And yes, I hope that guy found a dollar.
I hope he got a dollar, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We were waiting outside for the movie to start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was a great experience. We got out of there on time. Well, that was the only bad part was when it was over, you know, thank you for coming. Lights come on. We're kind of meandering. And then
I don't know why they couldn't close the door and let people, because...
Well, they
we weren't trying to sneak into any VIP bullshit.
It was a VIP,
right.
No, letting
the crowd go. We're visiting because we hadn't seen each other in a minute.
Because I have a small bladder, I go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom twice during the movie.
Yeah.
They had the whole thing playing, so like the Q&A, it was playing in the bathroom.
Oh,
that's cool.
Oh, wow.
So the whole building. If you were up walking around in that tall section of the bathroom, you could hear everything.
That's cool.
So if you were hiding out, you could hear the VIP. And they
what
didn't
you're
want
saying that. Is we should have gone to the bathroom afterwards, and we could hear the VIP.
Maybe.
Thing.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, when they were like, "Okay, right, please get out," I'm like, "Oh shit." Yeah. Okay.
And they started right on time too. I mean, I looked at my phone, and it was 7 p.m. when that.
Yeah, I think
movie
that
kind
of goes back to the respectful of his time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. They had it down.
That does make more sense, Jim. If you could hear it everywhere, then.
Yeah.
No, and then, the other thing was they quit selling alcohol before the movie started. Like, when 7 o'clock, they closed all the beverages down.
Well, they probably didn't accuse that because they like, that was probably.
Yeah, that was. There were definitely a lot of.
And they were funnier than they are.
Oh, know, maybe that's why. Because the first time I went out to the bathroom.
For sure.
Yeah.
The first time I went out, the lady was like, hey, where'd all the beverages go? And she's like, oh, we close it during the movie. She's like, you don't even have water?
Yeah.
And the lady's like, no, I'm so sorry. She's like, I'm leaving a 1-star review.
Oh, my God.
Well,
okay.
They told everybody, hey, we're closing this before the movie. Like, hey, order your drinks. But
no, you can't.
Yeah, one star for the Majestic because they quit selling
now
at water.
The funny story, not related to the movie necessarily, but we get there. You know, we took separate cars. So James had it was, you know, got there. We got there. So I immediately go to the bathroom. And I walk up to the stall, and you know, and all of a sudden, there's this guy next to me talking to me. And my first thought was, oh my God, who is this guy wanting to talk to me in a men's restroom?
Yeah. And I look with, with my junk out, right.
It was James.
It's me.
It's like, oh, hey, I didn't see you there.
Like, it's like at work on the old times, like when Phil's in there pooping, I'm like, hey, Phil, what's up?
Well, you know, I mean.
I can tell by his shoes, they're done.
You go into a restroom, you don't look around.
Right. No,
you don't look to the right or the left.
Right, you do what you
I got
do.
There first.
Yeah, he was there
then
first.
Then I see a dude come up. I'm like,
yeah.
What? Oh, that's Phil.
Yeah, and I, you know, so I'm not interested in any kind of, but it was Jay, so that was cool.
I don't want it, sir. No, thank you.
No.
Come on, you want to look?
Yeah.
Y'all's exchange about your at Lowe's, the coffee story, that's probably my favorite between you two. This is y'all's story, but I'm gonna tell it and correct me when I get it wrong.
I like stories.
Is you're working, it was early in the morning, I guess. You were working. I don't know if you were just you could hear each other, or I guess you couldn't see each other, or you weren't looking at each other, or whatever. Because my understanding is something happens, and Phil, you go, oh shit.
Yeah.
James goes, what? You shit your pants? And your response was, worse, I spilled my coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's still, like, that's top exchange between you two. And I'm like, in what world is shitting your pants worse than spilling your coffee? And I love coffee. And then just, yeah.
Listen, man.
That
was James' first response.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the evening that we have? We're coming up right on an hour, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's much, much better than John Cusack.
Yeah.
I mean, not his fault.
Right.
That event.
Yeah, I think Cusack was put
I would say if anyone has the opportunity to see Cary Elwes in person,
yes,
go see him.
He is a performer and he
yeah,
a crowd pleaser and very professional. And
how long did he even talk? I don't even know. I was
like 45 minutes to an hour, right? I mean, yeah, it was a good, solid hour. It was a good time. Yeah.
I just, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't like a
15 minute. Didn't sit there looking at my watch or nothing.
Yeah, but the ability to entertain people just with your speech, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For an hour. It was good to see him, and it was just a good experience for a movie that is.
And I think he thoroughly enjoyed it.
I think he gets a charge. It's got to be almost, you know, like being a rock star. You come out and people are cheering you, and then they give you a standing ovation, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he told a story that happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
With as much enthusiasm and passion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as it just happened. And it was very engaging.
Yeah. I think he appreciates what Bride has done for him and what continues to do for him. There was this was the thing about Cusack. I knew going in that Cusack was, he leaned left compared to my views on a lot of things. And I was afraid that it was going to get into this political, and Cusack was very gentlemanly about it and didn't take bait on a lot of things. Was sensible enough to know that that's not why people came there.
There was so much bait.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
On all so kinds Cusack of subjects.
He has different views than me, but I can respect him because he doesn't take every opportunity to beat you up about him. But Carrie also, Hollywood, leans Democrat because there was several years ago, they did a fundraiser for some Democrat candidate. And I didn't care about that, but I wanted to see the event. It was a Zoom event you could buy a ticket for. And it was Carrie and
the whole cast.
The whole cast of Princess Bride on a Zoom event reading the script of Princess Bride. You're sitting there reading the script and sort of reenacting the movie to raise money for this candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Carrie is gentlemanly enough not to, you know, make that a thing. You know what I'm saying? You have your views. I have mine. Great. But you're here to enjoy this movie. You're here to see me.
Yeah.
And so I think both guys leaning left, you know, which is not a bad thing. I'm sort of centrist anyway. We don't want to get into politics. But are professional and humble enough to know, that I don't need to force my views on you all the time. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was kind of.
And I can appreciate that. I like when politics was boring.
Yeah,
I like that time.
Yeah,
let's take it back.
Oh my God. But separate the two, right? Because because people don't go see your movie. Typically, maybe some people do, but right, like typically, if you like an actor, you like the movies. Yeah. Like you go see them for the movie or their performances, right? Like Tom Cruise, for example, right?
Yeah.
But I can go in and enjoy his movies because it's got nothing to do with it. It's completely separate. And if he's out talking about the movie, promoting the movie, to my knowledge, I've never heard him mix the two. He's talking about whatever movie he's out
there.
Other
than being passionate and very happy about it, he doesn't really mix.
And by all accounts, if you were to walk up to Tom Cruise, he would treat you with respect. And
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. He seems a very genuine person.
Yeah.
With his views, his own views, which are not mine, but whatever.
If you start asking him about Scientology, then maybe you'll get a dose, but
Right.
He'll probably light up like you've never seen him light up before. I mean, there's people out there that love all kinds of stuff that come to life when you talk about something they enjoy.
Yeah, right. That are people are not one-dimensional. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so anything else about an evening with Carrie Ellis?
It was fantastic.
It was a good time. All right, so I guess we are out.
He truly has been a part of our lives for over 30 years.
Or at least.
At least.
Yes, that was me, and you're welcome.
Because they
shook his hand and went, hey, was that your ass that I just saw?
I don't think Carrie Ellis is, you know, a dick or anything, but
the only time a celebrity will remember you is when you're batshit crazy.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to be watching The Princess Bride thinking, man, Carrie thinks I'm a dick.
And then, you can't unsee it once you know that story and you see it.
Yeah.
And that British accent doesn't hurt.
No, well.
The weirdest part was him. The moderator's name was James.
Yeah.
So every time Carrie Elvis was talking, he's like, well, you see, James. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like.
He's talking to me.